I'm Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today we're going to go over the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've got Carolina and New York. Carolina leads that series 2-1. Calgary and Edmonton. Edmonton leads that series 2-1. I'm a little surprised. As a matter of fact, I think this series might end up going seven games. We've got Tampa Bay and Florida. Tampa's leading that 3-0. They're playing as of right now. 1:45 left in the second, 0-0 as we are recording this. And St. Louis and Colorado. Colorado leads that series 2-1. Matt, I want to start off with Carolina and New York. I thought Carolina was going to come running away with it, but New York said, we are not going to go down quietly. Game four is tonight. Is that tonight? No, I'm sorry.
Tomorrow
at 7. How do you see this one going, Matt?
I think the first team to win away will win the series. And I say this because last series, the Hurricanes won all their games at home. They won game 7. They won game 1 and 2. I think they won game 5, I believe. And they lost every road game. So Carolina's got to learn how to win away. And I think they could. If they could steal this next game, I could see them winning back at home for game 6.
Remember the Red Wings back in the day? It didn't matter where they were. They would just drown you wherever you were. And I think it seems like those type of teams, Tampa Bay, is also a team that's like that. Doesn't matter if they're home or away, they will just they're just going to impose their will. Those are the teams that make it deep, and those are the teams that win cups. If Carolina cannot win an away game, I think they're in a lot of trouble, man. Do you think that's a team thing or a mental thing?
That's a big problem. I think Brendan Moore has got the last change, obviously, being the home team. He's got to get a matchup he likes away, and they got to find a way to win. And I think Ranta was good, but he let up some softies, some questionable goals. He's got to be better. But I think if they can win game 4 and they win away, I think they'll be fine going back home, because Brendan Moore is a great coach, and he'll get his matchups, his pairings he wants against their top guns. And he's been very successful this playoffs.
Do you think Sebastian Aho is taking that next step in leading this team deeper into the playoffs?
Yes, I thought he's very exciting to watch. I honestly, I didn't really see much of him. I think maybe 2 seasons ago when the Hawks were in their division, we got to see him a little bit, but I was like, he's good. But really, he got that $9 million offer sheet by the Habs and stuff. But now looking at him, dude, he's all over the place. He's him and Teuvo, they got some really good Finnish players over there. He's exciting, man.
What about New York? Do you think Adam Fox is going to start kind of, I don't want to say showing up, but he's been a little quiet, hasn't he?
You could say it, yeah. Even Panarin, he's got to show up too.
Yeah.
And I know all the Rangers fans on Twitter, they're all over Panarin and these top guns. I think they call it the kid line with Kaapo Kakko and Lafreniere.
Right.
They've been pretty good. And Shesterkin he's very good too, but he's not as good as he was during the season. So if they want to win the series, he's got to really step up too.
Moving on to Calgary and Edmonton. I thought that Calgary would be up on Edmonton 2-1 right now, but it's the other way around. Connor McDavid is, what does he have, Matt, 23 points in 10 games?
Yes, he's a freak.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah. This guy is practically willing the Oilers to... he's willing the Oilers to deeper into this playoff series. If he doesn't show up, I think this team flounders. But he's literally putting the team on his back, and he's doing very well. Matt, do you think that it's all Connor McDavid, or do you think that Evander Kane is actually taking some of that load off of McDavid's back and by doing some secondary scoring and allowing, McDavid to do his thing?
As much as I hate to admit it, yes, Evander Kane is helping a lot. He's got 5 goals. He's stepping up. And you know what? Now you can separate the 2 top guns, and you got Evander Kane to fill in the depth. And dude, since they signed him, I think he's got like, I think 26 goals in the last 49 games he's played with this team. I'm wrong. No, he's got 32 goals in his Oiler run.
Wait, hold on. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, in 43 games with the Oilers this season, I actually just pulled this up.
22 goals.
22 goals and 17 assists, which is, I mean, that's exactly what they needed.
Dude, that's incredible, I think. You know? For not playing half the season, like being suspended.
Right.
And then just signing. And right now, he's got 10 playoff games and 10 goals. He's got a goal a game in the playoffs. That's huge.
Right.
So, I mean, that's big for Connor McDavid. I mean, I don't like the guy. I think he's a, you know, off the ice, he's a complete douchebag, but there's no doubt he's a really good hockey player. And this, Connor McDavid really advocated to get this guy. And I heard this on XM radio. He's like, yeah, I really was advocating to get him. I was hoping he can turn his life around a little bit. And I mean, if Connor McDavid's pushing for you to get on the team, that's probably a good sign. So Kenny Holland looks good with this Evander Kane signing. I'm not so sure about the Mike Smith signing, and we've all been hard on him. But when you got Connor McDavid playing like Wayne Gretzky in the 80s, it doesn't matter who's in net, I don't think.
You know, if you really think about it, man, you know, if Evander Kane, he could be like, you know what? I've been on some bullshit for a really long time. And, you know, I lost my wife, you know, my family. I got a kid out there that I don't see regularly. You know, I'm constantly in what have money issues. And with everything that happened with the Sharks, he easily could have been, you know, bad news for everybody. We're like, you know what, we don't want to deal with this guy, you know. But the Oilers say, hey, you know what? We got Connor McDavid saying that he wants to play with you. Dude, this could be it for him. Like, this is his last chance. And I think that he's making the most of it. Hopefully, for his sake, you know, as a person, I hope that he's turned things around personally. But he's one hell of a hockey player, man. Like, he is a no big doubt. Difference maker. Yep. Even when he signed in San Jose, dude, he was putting up points for him consistently. And he's doing that for the Oilers. The Oilers really needed that. And they're up 2-1 in the second round. Without him, they would have been out. Without Evander Kane, they'd all be playing golf right now.
Probably right. You're probably right. He's been a huge difference maker.
So moving on to Tampa and Florida. And you know what? This isn't looking good for Florida, man. You know, Florida is a team that has been looking to get out of the shadow of Tampa. Tampa has some injuries and they're still they're winning. They're beating them. And Florida has not been able to impose their will. What is it going to take for this Florida team that has dominated everybody this season? Got the President's Trophy, which we could say is a curse. And they're having a hard time with Tampa.
Yeah, they need a miracle because this Tampa team, dude, they're on right now. I believe it was game two. They didn't Florida give up a goal with like 3 seconds left in the game?
Yeah, I want to say was
that game two or three?
I thought was game two. Yeah,
you cannot do that. You cannot let up with that much time left in the game and leave a guy wide open. Kucherov turned his head around and just threw it to the slot. And I think it was Ross Colton. He just buried it. That cannot happen.
That was in the second period, wasn't it?
No, that was the game.
That was the game. Period. Okay. Yeah. Okay. For some reason, I thought that was the second period.
No, you cannot do that against the Stanley Cup champs, Cup champs. Kucherov he's got eyes in the back of his head. That was a beautiful pass, but I thought Bobrovsky was great. He had a good game. And his team just quit on him. And they're just making these little mental mistakes, missed assignments. That's what's killing Florida right now.
What a, what a confidence killer. Because 1 minute you're going into overtime. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me take that statement back. One second you're going into the overtime. Next thing you know, the game's over.
Yeah, you're going back home. You're going to Tampa, actually. Brutal. You're going to dangerous waters.
Man, that's incredible. So they need a miracle. Tampa needs to slow down for them for this to change. Vasilevsky is probably just getting warmed up over there, and so is Hedman. The deeper they get into the playoffs, I think the better Hedman gets. So it's not looking good for Florida. Not saying they can't, you know, turn this around, but they're going to need to change a lot around for this too, for them to beat Tampa.
They only have one power play goal, dude.
Oh, really quickly.
In the playoffs, one power play goal to Panthers. That has to change.
Wow. Yeah, that's
just
no
happened
good.
Last game. It just happened. Just got their first goal, so that's got to change. If they have they have so many good players on that team, they got to find a way to get a puck in the net.
Right. I wanted to just circle back to Calgary really quick because we really didn't talk about Calgary very long. Do you think that Markstrom is going to be the difference maker for this Calgary team in this series?
Dude, it's weird because he was a really good goalie during the season, and it's not really a goaltending duel. It's more of a high scoring, and it's just Connor McDavid overshadowing everything. But yeah, I mean, he's got to step up if he wants to win a game, and the whole team has to like realize Connor McDavid is at another level right now. They really have to be on their assignments. They can't give this guy any space because if he gets two steps on you, goodbye, he's gone. And they have to tighten up. Daryl Sutter knows how to play defense. He was a great defensive-minded forward, like a Selke-like guy. He's got to get his checkers out there. They have to stop him because if they don't, they're going to get upset by the freaking Oilers.
Wow. You know, I was looking for him to kind of be the difference maker for this Calgary team to really bolster their opportunity here. And to be honest with you, he's kind of come a little short for me.
Yeah, I wasn't too excited. Even all the goaltending in these playoffs, even with the next series we're going to talk about, St. Louis and Colorado, the goaltending hasn't been anything special, and really hasn't been anything special. Mike Smith hasn't been good. And Markstrom is just, you know, he's the guy in net, but he's not stealing a game, and you need your goalies to steal you a game sometimes.
100%. So moving on, St. Louis and Colorado. Colorado leads this series 2-1. This is another series I thought that St. Louis would be up 2-1. Not because how bad Colorado is. I just think that the Blues are a surprising team. And they're still in it. Matt, how do you see the Blues trying to turn the tables on Colorado?
Well, Binnington going down wasn't a good thing because I thought he really turned his game around. I think that Ville Husso kind of took his net during the season. And I mean, that's tough for a guy who won a Stanley Cup a couple years back. And it's like watching a young guy kind of taking your spot. And Ville Husso had a bad little run and he lost his net and Binnington got it back. And then he got rammed by Kadri last game and he's out for the playoffs. So the Blues got to play way better in front of Ville Husso because he's like 1-3 with like a 3.38 goals against, and that's not that good in the playoffs, man. He's got to tighten up. But I like the play. I like how the Blues play. They're rough and tough, and you know they can score goals. They could play any way they want against you. But I think Colorado is just too fast right now. They got too much skill, and it might be a little too much for these guys.
And they're also pretty rested too.
Yeah, and it helps when you sweep the Predators and get like 4 or 5 days off in between.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know, that's really a funny thing, though, because some teams, they get that rest and they get thrown completely off to Mars. And you have other teams where they get that rest, they come back and they pick up right where they left off. What do you think is more beneficial, Matt, having that time off or just being able to go from series to series?
I think it depends on the team. If say you're like the Red Wings of the 90s, you want rest because you know they're like not young, they're older, and that the old guys you need time to heal. I remember when Peter Forsberg was still playing, he's like, yeah, you know, after a game, I prefer not to have a practice or two the next couple days and let the body rest. It's like the best medicine. So but some guys like getting in the groove. I could see like Connor McDavid like to just kind of keep moving on and moving on. He's got the momentum and he's ready. He just wants to keep moving on and stuff like that. But I guess it depends on the team. But if I'm the Blues, I think I would want rest. And Colorado's young, but hey man, they're still playing good. So I don't think the rest. I think it helped them if anything.
Yeah, yeah. Canada, I think, is the same way. He's always wants to have his skates on, you know, getting that active recovery
just
in a way.
Getting the reps in and, you know, just doing the routines. But, yeah, I guess it depends on the team.
I think it depends on the guy, though, too. I think, you know, you kind of get to a point as a professional where you could say, hey, you know what? This guy's 28 years old, 30 years old. You know, he could use some rest days. You know, it's like you don't have to be going balls out in practice.
Yeah, if I'm looking back, like, during the Hawks runs, I think, like, I'd give Dunks, Siebes, probably a day off, you know, if we say we swept somebody and it's like, hey, we got another 4 days off because they're still in game six or something, the other series. Right. I'd be like, you know what, you guys, you know, take it easy, regenerate, because you're going to be getting a lot of minutes next series. So
yeah,
it all depends. Like you said, it's probably up to the player personnel, coaching and stuff like that. And there's really not that many old guys on the Avalanche. So that's the funny thing. They're all young.
I think it was Josh Manson. They talked to him in Colorado because they took care of the Preds so quickly. He actually got to spend a couple extra days with his family. And, you know, they just did family stuff for a couple of days. And he's like, this is really uncommon to happen because, you know, it's the playoffs and we really don't get much time with our families. You know, that could help get a guy's head right, to be honest with you.
For sure. And being in your own bed helps too, not in a hotel bed, you know?
Yeah. So, I see Colorado tying this game up tomorrow. On the 25th, I see them tying this up. I see this series going 2-2. St. Louis, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
St. Louis tying this series up 2-2. I'm going to make a prediction that Tampa Bay closes it out tonight.
Hey, I hope so.
And I'm going to say Calgary is going to tie this game up. I think the Calgary-Edmonton series is going to go 7 games. It just seems that, you know, the offense of Edmonton and the top down, you know, complete team of Calgary is just made for this. It's like, you know, they're going to stop McDavid, you know, a couple days and they're going to get a couple wins, but you know, they got to stop them every game so that they could take it out, you know, go to the next round. So, with McDavid pretty much, you know, pressing his will, and him being a one man show there. And if Vander Kane can take more of that burden off of him, maybe this goes 6 games, but I think Calgary can push this to 7. And I'm going to say Carolina is going to do this in 6. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I think going to the Oilers series with the Flames, I think Matthew Tkachuk needs to go Matthew Tkachuk versus Drew Doughty, except with Connor McDavid. Get in his head, hit him. Do what you did against Drew Doughty because you took him off his game and that guy hates you. You need to make Connor McDavid hate you because that's the type of player Matthew Tkachuk could be too. And he could put him in the net. He's a 40 goal scorer this year. Very quiet 40 goal scoring season. He's got to get nasty. I want to see him get old time hockey nasty on McDavid. I think it's going to go 7 and I think the Flames will win.
Do you think that Matthew Tkachuk is better served in this series being more of an instigator than a goal scorer or vice versa?
Yes, to the first one. He needs to get Nazem Kadri attitude these guys. Game one, he was all over Evander Kane. He was saying some personal stuff to him. Yeah, he was getting in his head. And the dude was getting, and then he got a hat trick. Tkachuk.
Yeah, he did.
He was all over the ice, hitting guys, starting trouble. He needs to be the center of attention out there, just getting in everyone's head, scoring some goals, and just pissing off the Oilers. I think that's how they can win. Type of guy.
Where do you got with Carolina?
So, like I said, I think if Carolina can win one away, I think they could definitely, I think they're going to win at home. They're just too damn good at home. I mean, that crowd it's electric, dude. It's loud there. It's good for them. I mean, they're really passionate fans. I think the Canes love playing in front of them, but I think they can win in probably 6.
And where you got Tampa?
I'm hoping Tampa wins tonight. I think Florida might, you know, the way that they play sometimes, they take really dumb penalties for no reason. It's like, I'm tougher than you kind of penalty.
That's what happened to Carolina last year.
And Tampa will bury you. And I think that it's going to be a 2-1 final, Tampa Bay.
Okay. What about St. Louis and Colorado?
See, this is tough because I'm actually a really big Binnington fan. I just like his mentality. He's crazy. He's a nutcase. And And he's a good goalie, but him going down, that's just a, it's a heartbreaker for that locker room. This guy's a competitor, man. Nothing against Ville Husso, but he's not won a Stanley Cup like Bennington has. He pretty much carried that team that year against the Bruins. But I mean, I think I want St. Louis to win, but I think Colorado might, and I picked St. Louis in seven, but I think Colorado can get this done a little sooner, maybe in six.
Okay. Interesting. So, a little NHL news for everybody. The Penguins have said that they are focused on signing Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang. Now, this seems to be a very similar situation with, say, what the Blackhawks have with Taves and Kane in a way. You've got two stars that have been here for a very long time, both very, very good. But Letang, I would probably say, is better, and he's more consistently in the lineup than Evgeny Malkin is. How do you, and to compare them to the Blackhawks, Taves has been hurt, you know, quite a bit recently, had a concussion this year. He had that, that, what was it? Kind of like a chronic
immune disorder. Immune disorder
that kind of popped up from stress from playing so much hockey, you know, that's popped up. And Kaner's been very consistent, and luckily, knock on wood, he's been very healthy. So do you think that the Penguins should sign Malkin? And if they are, how much do you think you would sign him for? Like, you personally, what would you do?
Well, the funny thing is, too, like, they signed Brian Rust today for $6 million, or I'm sorry, 6 years, $5 million. It's like, where's this money going to, like, go for Malkin and Letang? Because right. I'm nothing against Brian Rust. He's a good player. I think he's a 30-goal guy. He's 30 years old, though. I mean, he's probably got, what do you think, 3 good years left before he starts on, you know, going on the decline. But it's a cheap hit, $5 million. But for Malkin, man, this is tough. I know he's like their, you know, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves, like, well, you know, him and Sid. But man, I just don't know. Like, it's too risky with his injuries, and if I don't think Malkin needs the money. But it's got to be a really cheap price for me. It's got to be something like maybe 2 years, 4 to 5.
Wow.
And yeah. I heard Letang, he wants another 5 years too. He's getting up there too, man.
Yeah.
Nothing against him. He's a really good player. He's like the Duncan Keith, I guess you could say, when we're comparing to the Hawks and stuff. But I heard rumors of him wanting to go to Montreal and getting a big payday.
Wow.
But that's just a rumor. That's an internet rumor. It's probably stupid. But I guess Letang has said he wants to play another 3-4 seasons with the Penguins. But I like you said, I think I would rather have Letang than Malkin if I had to pick one.
Yeah. Let's take a look at something here with Malkin. He's just finishing his 8-year, $76 million contract. He's played in 981 games for the Penguins. And he's 35 years old.
Now, how many did he miss? Keep that in mind too.
I'm gonna bring this up. Kaner just turned what, 33 or 34, and he's in the 1100 game area.
Yeah.
So Malkin's missed quite a bit of time. You know, let me pull up his let me pull him up really quick. And see exactly how many games that he's played over the years. So I'm gonna go. Let's see. He's played He's played two seasons at 82 games.
That's not good.
First season 78. Second season 82. Third season 82. Played all of those two seasons, and then after that, from 2009 on. 67 games, 43 games, 75, 31, 60, 69, 57, 62, 78, 68, 55, 33, 41.
So look at the decline. Yeah.
those are the games that he's played over the past, you know, and that's his career. Now, considering you're only going to get 62 games out of a guy, you know, a year, you know, we'll just say on average, how can you pay this guy $9.5 million?
You can't. Yeah, you can't.
Is he worth that money for his skill? Yes. But the amount of time that he plays should only be getting half of that. So I agree with you around that $5 million range.
I would do 1 year deals from here on out. You can't invest that. You can't. It's not fair for these young kids coming up that, you know, deserve a shot, and they're going to be here longer than you know. You're on the back nine, bro. You're on the back, pretty much the back eight. you're on the last hole here. This is your last run. You shouldn't be looking for a big payday and just screwing the salary cap up for these guys. I mean, Sid, he's making 8.7?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable for him. He's so important, and that's nothing.
Yeah.
That is nothing.
He's still worth it.
Oh, yeah. He's underpaid, and that's just the classy guy he is. It's not about the money. It's about the Penguins. He's all about the team, and that's the guy you want. You still want him to be your captain. Until the day he retires, he will be the captain there.
Right, 100%. So I'm going to go all over Letang here. His first year is 2006-2007. He only had 7 games. I think he came in later in the season. But in the 2007-2008 year, he had 63 games, 74, 73, 82, 51, 35, 37, 69, 71, 41, 79, 65, 61, 55, and 78. This past year, he had 78 games played. He had 68 points, which is very impressive.
Seems healthy, too. Yeah,
he does seem healthy. I know he had some health issues a couple years back. I want to say in 2019, 2020, maybe. But he's been consistently putting up, you know, over 40 assists a season, 58 this year, almost had 60 with 10 goals. I'd sign him to a 3-year deal, man. 3-year deal at maybe $6 million.
Yeah, 35. So it ends when he's 38. Yeah, but like you said, he's in really good shape. He's another one of those fitness guys like McDavid. I've seen his internet page, dude. Oh my goodness, that guy trains. 3 years is fair, I think. Like if you're gonna invest money in a guy, I think Letang might get like a 7.5 3-year deal, probably. I think Malkin should just go one by one because his health is just big question mark, man.
And notably, Letang has only had a minus season in 2017-2018 season, the 2013-2014 season, 2008-2009, 2007-2008, and 2006-2007.
Wow.
All of the rest of this time, he's a plus.
He's a plus 100 in his career, too. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
It is, especially for an offensive defenseman.
Yep.
So, yeah, looking at the numbers here, I don't see how they don't sign Letang first and then mention to Malkin, this is what we've got left. You know?
Yeah, they have to. Ron Hextall is the GM there. He's got to be smart with this. He's got to start thinking about the future. You're going to be in Blackhawk hell because that's what we invested too long and too much into our older guys, and we're paying the price now.
Yeah, we are. So that's essentially the situation, at least what I wanted to talk about with the Penguins, because it's really interesting what they're going to do there. But hey,
I like their honesty. I like say, hey, we're going after these guys. We want them back. And usually everything's tight-lipped in the NHL. Like you find out last minute until it's done. Right. I think it's cool that he publicly said, hey, these guys are our priority. So it's refreshing for if you're a Penguins fan. If you're a diehard fan, you're you know, the main guys are going to hopefully be back.
Right.
At least that's the goal. I mean, I'd be happy if I were a Penguins fan.
I mean, it's how it is in Chicago. How many fans will, I mean, if Taves was on a in a wheelchair and Kaner was in a wheelchair, how many people would want them re-signed, you know? A lot of people would because, you know, they just they just want to hold on to that. And I think that, you know, I think the Penguins are in a little bit better of a situation. But
they're right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're right there.
But hey, man, do you got anything else?
No, man, I got a bad feeling about next season. I think that Taser and Kaner might be traded by the deadline. And I could really, if New York loses this series and, you know, miss out again, I can really see the Rangers making a big push for Kaner. I don't want it to happen, but I could see it being a difference. They need a difference maker in the playoffs. Right now, they don't have one. And Kaner being on the last year of his deal, I hope he's a Hawk forever. I really do, but I can see New York making a huge kind of offer for the Hawks. And it might be tough for Davidson to say no, you know, like even with the Hagel trade.
I wonder what they have, though, you know.
Considering... They got some good young guys, man. They got some good young guys. And they got draft picks. And I think that's Davidson's main goal, is start, you know, growing these prospects out. And look at Brandon Hagel, man. He's been good in Tampa. I'm proud of the guy. He's been a difference maker, too. He's making some good passes. He's skating his ass off. And I hope he gets rewarded, because he had a long season with the Hawks. And it sucks losing and getting traded to a team that's going for a three-peat. It's got to be really exciting for him.
You know, Taves is a proven playoff performer as well. You could even say that Toronto might even try to make a push for him. Could you imagine?
Interesting.
Could you imagine a Toronto team with Tavares and Taves on the same team?
Toronto doesn't have the space. I mean, unless they give up something or the Hawks take on, you know, retain some salary, but. Yeah, for sure. I think Taves would fit right in on that third line center and really, really help that team get over the hump too.
A guy like him, man, they can just all they have to do is just put him in to shut down dudes. That's it. He doesn't have to worry about scoring.
Yeah, late Stevie Y, like Dave McCarthy said.
Yeah.
Hey, this guy should transition into that shutdown guy. I mean, he's a little bit older. He's going to score some goals, but not as much as he used to. He knows how to selkie it up. So, yeah, Toronto. Speaking of Toronto, man, they signed, what's his name? Mark Giordano. They got him through the Kraken, with the Kraken trade. He signed a 2-year deal today, man.
Wow.
He sees something in the team. And you know what? The Leafs, they love this guy. I think he lost
everybody
twice
does
with the team. Giordano, that's a huge signing for Toronto.
Every team that he goes to, they put the C on him. He just carries himself that well. He has a lot of character. You know what, man? The only thing that happened to the Leafs this year was that they ran into Tampa in the first round.
Yeah, they were way better than last year. They showed up, man. They got beat by a better team.
And that's the thing. You know, it's like you'll see in the headlines, you know, Tampa Bay beats the Leafs. Leafs are out in the first round again. They haven't won a playoff series since 2006. But this team went up against one of the best teams in the league. And this one of the best teams in the league played up to that caliber as well. And you can't really put anything on the Leafs for it.
The stars showed up, man. They did. They played great. Tavares was a late starter. He showed up a little late to the party, but he finished strong with the team. They just they ran into a team that's really experienced, and Toronto got in a little penalty trouble, and Tampa made them pay. That's all it came down to.
It's like, hey, don't feel bad that you lost to Tampa. Nobody's won a playoff series against Tampa in 2 years. You know?
Yeah.
So it's not like you're in bad company. And Florida's about to lay down, is practically about to lay down 4-0, the President's Trophy winning team. Tampa's winning right now 1-0 in the third period on the power play with 13:28 left in the third period. So,
they're going to be very desperate, these next couple minutes. It's going to be crazy.
But look at Florida.
Who got the goal? Who got the goal here? Box score.
What can Tampa do?
Patty Maroon, the big rig.
Oh, wow.
See, that's the thing about Tampa. When this guy's scoring goals, Corey Perry's scoring goals, that's huge.
It is.
Your stars don't show up, but these grind role players start scoring goals. What a signing, man. Corey Perry, even Patty Maroon to his extension. This guy's got 3 Stanley Cups in a row. He's got one with St. Louis and 2 with Tampa. So, good for Tampa, man. They are just... they're in a different league right now. It's crazy.
Perry just fit right in there, man. I mean,
he's a playoff guy. He's a playoff guy, man.
All right, everybody. That's all that we got for you tonight. We're going to drop another one on Friday. Thank you for listening. We're very, very appreciative. Be sure to hit subscribe if you haven't, and we'll catch you on the next one. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.